Good morning, church. On behalf of my pastor, the Reverend Dr. H. Jack Morris from Largo Community Church, I bring you greetings, Pastor Salmon, Pastor McNeil, to the Village Baptist Church family. Good morning. I was telling Doug earlier, and I want to thank him for setting this up, so giving me the opportunity to come before you this morning. I've never really been asked to come to a church and sing, except for like a funeral or a wedding or something like that. But it's great to be able to come and just share. I want to thank Janine for taking the time to work on this piece, and hopefully we can bring it to you in a way that'll be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. This song is a song that's a testimony to the power of having faith in Christ. Because even though there are bad things, and we know that we're living in some very, very troubled times, even though we have bad things, we have trials, we have tribulations, we have difficulties, if we just continue to have faith in Christ, he'll raise us up higher than we ever thought we could be, to be better than we ever thought we could be. So I hope as you listen to the words of this song, it'll cause you to remember that we have a Savior who loves us.
Trouble comes and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence for you to come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am in your wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Thank you.
Bravo, Mr. Taylor. I'm Deacon Ray Brown, and it is my joy to serve Jesus and this wonderful congregation. I'll be reading for Deacon Kathleen Rowe this morning from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, 13. And that can be found on page 1047 in your pew Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love.
Last Saturday, Linda and I celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary. And in true salmon style, our celebration was rather understated. We began the day by exchanging greeting cards. Linda's card to me featured Snoopy and Woodstock. My card to her came from the dollar store. Then we went about our usual Saturday chores. Linda went shopping at two grocery stores, and I stayed at home and washed the dishes and the clothes. We did have a nice dinner that night at Jerry's Seafood. You probably know that Jerry's is pretty pricey. In true salmon fashion, we ordered the cheapest entrees on the menu. Linda had the baby crab bomb, and I had the halibut, just for the halibut. There were no appetizers, no extra sides, no dessert. We had water to drink. Still, the bill came to over $68 for just two of us. Fortunately, I had a $50 Jerry's gift certificate that I had won at a charity golf tournament, so it wasn't quite such a hit to the credit card. After dinner, we came home and watched TV, and I went over my sermon for Sunday. That was our exciting 39th wedding anniversary. Don't accuse us of being unromantic. Well, the truth is, any day I spend with Linda is a celebration. We've been married over 39 years, and they have been the best 39 years of my life. Linda and I first met when I was a student at the Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Because I had to miss a semester due to illness, I didn't graduate when the rest of my class did. And so for a while, I was bummed out while most of my classmates were preparing to begin their ministerial careers. I had another semester to go. As a distraction, I accepted an invitation from a friend to take part in a dramatic production at a church on the east side of the city. I'd never been to that church. I probably would never have gone to that church had it not been for the drama. As it turned out, a pretty young woman named Linda was the star of the drama. I had a bit part. And on the last night after the performance and the cast party, I finally worked up the courage to ask her out. It was pretty gutsy on my part. Linda was older than I. She was a young widow with a 3-year-old daughter. But I hoped she would give me a chance. And she did. And she has been giving me a chance for the last 39 years. What does it take for a marriage to last 39 years, or in the case of Esther and Stanley, to last 60 years? Well, to put it simply, it takes a lot of love. Now, the kind of love I'm talking about is not just romantic love, although it often begins that way. The kind of love I'm talking about is more than that. It's the kind of love that Paul wrote about in our scripture for this morning. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When Paul wrote these words about love, he was not thinking about marriage in particular, although it certainly applies to marriage. His main concern was the quality of the life of the people who were in the church in Corinth. You see, Paul had received some troubling reports about the church. He received these troubling reports that there were divisions in the church. Some of the divisions were theological in nature. Some of them were based on social standing and class. Some of them were petty and self-centered behavior. And frankly, well, Paul was upset about the lack of unity in the church in Corinth. Some of the church were acting selfishly without regard to the feelings and the needs of their fellow church members. So Paul wrote this letter to address some of the causes of the division and to remind them what true Christian community is all about. And here in chapter 13, Paul wrote about love. Now, the word that Paul uses for love is not the Greek word eros, which means romantic love, or the Greek word philos, which means family love. The word he used was the Greek word agape, which means God's love. Paul used that word agape 9 times in this chapter alone. His focus is on the love that believers are to have for one another. Earlier in chapter 12, Paul mentioned various gifts of the Spirit. These include wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues. The problem in Corinth was the exercise of these spiritual gifts was leading to divisions rather than unity. Some people, because they had certain gifts, thought they were better than their fellow Christians in the church. Paul compared the members of the church to the parts of the human body. Just as the human body has many different parts, so the church has many different members, and we're not all alike. And just as every part of the body is important, every member of the church is important. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul said, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Then Paul said in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." God has appointed many roles in the church, and God has given many gifts to the members of the church. But Paul said the greatest gift that God has given to all of us is the gift of love. Paul's point is love is not just something we feel. Love is something we do. Love is expressed by the way that we act, how we treat each other. And he gave some specific examples of what love looks like in action. For example, love is patient and love is kind. I got a call in the church office this past week from a telemarketer. That's not unusual. We get calls in the office all the time for people trying to sell us something. Usually our church secretary, Bev Butler, handles those calls. But if she's not there, I may get to answer the phone. The problem was the phone rang when I was in the midst of preparing this sermon, and I was deep in thought. Now at home, when we get calls, the telephone tells us who's calling so we can screen our calls. Here at the church, we don't have that feature, so we have to answer every call in a friendly manner. It might be a church member calling, or it might be a potential church member calling, so I try to be friendly, at least until I know who's calling. Last week, I was deep in thought when the phone rang. It didn't take long. It was a salesperson. I wish I could say that I was patient and kind, but I wasn't patient. I wasn't kind. I didn't hang up on the caller, but I did end the conversation as quickly as possible. Well, Paul said, love is patient and kind. Even when we don't feel like being patient and kind, we are called to love because we are called to move from being self-centered to being centered in the other person. And that means we place the needs of the other person above our own needs. That's the key for marriage. It's key for every close relationship. Of course, it only works if both people do it. If one person is always patient and kind and the other is pushy and mean, then the relationship can become manipulative and abusive. But as Christians, we are all called to love. That means we are called to be patient and kind. That means that in marriage, in family life, in church life, in all the significant relationships of our lives, we treat each other in a patient way and in a kind way. Most marriages would be better if the partners were simply more patient with each other and if they treated each other in a kind way. The same is true in the church. When we are patient and kind with each other, the quality of our life together is better. The same is true if we are not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or don't insist on our own way or not irritable or resentful. Respect and regard for others can go a long way toward peaceful and harmonious and mutually satisfying relationships. Last Monday, Linda and I went with our friends Angela and Maury Sweeten to the movie Free State of Jones. It was a good choice for the 4th of July because it's a movie about freedom. The movie is set in Mississippi during the Civil War, and it continues after the Civil War as the South was trying to rebuild. The main characters of the movie are a Confederate Army deserter and a runaway slave. And it's based on a true story. In Mississippi during the Civil War, some poor farmers and some runaway slaves joined in an uprising, a rebellion against the Confederacy. I'd never heard of that before. The movie is also a surprising love story. The Confederate Army deserter and the runaway slave not only have a common cause, they find a common love. After the war, they have a common law marriage. And Rachel, the runaway slave, becomes one of the few black women in Mississippi to be a landowner. Now, I apologize if I said too much about the movie. Still go see it. It's well worth seeing. However, the movie is not easy to watch. There's a lot of cruelty and brutality, especially on the part of the Confederates during the Civil War and a part of the Ku Klux Klan after the war. And in a way, the movie helps explain the racial disparities in our society and in our criminal justice system that exist even today. But it's not all negative. There are acts of compassion and respect for human dignity, especially between the runaway slaves and some of the southern whites like the army deserter. Underlying that compassion and that respect for human dignity is an understanding of the true message and the true meaning of the Christian faith. If you want to boil it all down to this, the Christian faith is about love. God's love for us and our love for each other. Love is the greatest gift that God has given to us, and love is the greatest gift that we can give to each other. In marriage, in the family, in the church, in our larger society, it all boils down to love. Faith and hope are essential, but the greatest gift is love. Our Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We are so grateful that you gave your Son for us. We are so grateful that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again out of love. And we know that you call us to love each other. How we need that love today. Help us, our Father, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Help us to love each other as Jesus loves us. Help us to be patient and kind and to do all that we do in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and we offer you the opportunity to respond. It may be there's someone here today who would profess your faith in Jesus and follow him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you would unite with our church by transferring your membership or statement of your experience if you have already made that commitment to Christ. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 272, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."